Important dates in Christian history. 385 AD. In Milan, Bishop Ambrose defies the Empress. This event helped to establish the precedent of the Church confronting the state when necessary to protect Christian teaching and oppose injustice and corruption in government. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, as long as the subject has been brought up, this is Wretched Radio. What are the rules of engagement when it comes to discernment? Ran to my office and grabbed Judge Not by one Todd Frielius, an entire section dedicated to discernment, because it was my observation. We have a tendency to fire maybe aim later, possibly, but typically we're pretty quick, some of us, to just... On the other hand, you've got people, they don't even put on their holster. They refuse to fire. So tried to find the balance of discernment to encourage. We should be judging. Now, you do have Christians who judge Christians for judging Christians, which is judgmental. So the issue is not should we judge, but how do we go about doing it? And so I codified what I think are some rules. There are times to name names. There are times to not name names. But then we get into the chapter titled Circular Firing Squads, where we shoot indiscriminately at everybody. That is not discernment. That's nasty. That's what that is. Starts out with your attitude. This one, you might just need a little theological adjustment on this. Our starting position should not be everyone is a heretic but me. And some of the people that I follow on the internet. No, that's not the... We hope. Please let this be an error. I want that guy to be saved. That's the attitude that we should... Oh, I hope I misunderstood this. Oh, maybe the guy... His medication, because he had a kidney stone and he was on some medication and now he's talking like a noodle. Let's hope it's some. That's the attitude that we should possess. We judge wisely. And then we follow some rules of engagement. So here we are. We are to judge the teachings of other Christians. But that does not mean we have to reprimand every word carelessly uttered by a fellow believer. We never turn off our Berean discernment filters, writes Frielius. Anytime another Christian speaks of spiritual things, we do judge, but that doesn't mean we need to chirp up for each and every perceived inaccurate statement. What did they say? What did they mean by that? Did everybody in the room get it? Okay. We need to discern. Anytime a fellow Christian acts in a questionable way, we judge. We are to point out sin to one another. That would be your James 5:20 recella. But before you come to church to just interrogate, investigate, and be a busybody, there's some sins we judge, other stuff you overlook. If someone commits a gross sin, yeah. If someone lives in an ongoing lifestyle of unrepentant sin, yes, we judge. If somebody is sinning in a way that brings public dishonor to God, we judge them. But if someone is growing in holiness, commits a one-off sin that you deserve, or that you observe, you don't need to judge it. You might. It depends on the severity of it, but you don't have to do that. If the person in question is a faithful pastor, you can let it go if it involves a non-essential issue. If the context of a questionable quote is not known, do research before you cry wolf. If you read a tweet about your favorite teacher, from your favorite teacher, it seems off. Maybe or they're somebody's tweeting about him. Are you sure they quoted him right? Sure there wasn't a fuller context to that? I have the posture that says, I hope all things here. I put the best construction on things. If you disagree with a brother, ask yourself if it is imperative you speak to him about it. If you determine it's a subject worth engaging, then gentleness, respect, and love must be employed. If you determine it is necessary to warn others, speak about the person as if he is in the room with you. Oh, that's a little bit of a challenge, isn't it? If you choose to publicly disagree with a believer, make it clear you're not labeling him a heretic, unless, of course, you think he's a heretic. We separate from people who are false teachers, but we do not separate from people with whom we have a disagreement in non-essential issues, nor from someone who doesn't separate from someone who doesn't separate from someone who doesn't separate from someone with whom we disagree. In other words, got to watch out for those degrees of separation. You, Jimmy?
Yes?
I met a guy from Tennessee who knows you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. He has a friend who loves Joyce Meyer. You're a heretic, Jimmy.
I'm a kid.
See what I did there? I mean, those degrees of separation. Look, I really do get it because I can actually hear somebody right now saying, whoa, 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 with a degree. That's true. It does get a little choppy and tricky. I think Phil Johnson and I did a pretty extended discussion about this at G3 about 50 years ago. The degrees of separation, how we've got to be careful. Now, what if Jimmy, I know Jimmy.
Yes.
And a really good friend of yours that you say is a brother is into he's reading Joyce Meyer.
Oh, that's
okay. Well, did you know about that, Jimmy?
No.
Were you aware of that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, too bad. You're a heretic anyway. I get it. It can be tricky, but let's be mindful of degrees of separation. There are essentials versus non-essentials. There are whopper sins. There's sins that we overlook. All right, so here's a scenario. Matilda, clearly an old person. Matilda is a Christian who appears to be growing in holiness week after week. She's in church, regularly volunteers in the nursery. She attends two Bible studies. One Sunday, you pull into the church parking lot, and you overhear Matilda speaking to her grandson. Do you mention it to Matilda because she was sharp? Nope, because we're not the sin police. We'd have time for nothing else if that's all we did. On Monday, you're driving to work and you pull up next to Matilda's van. And while you can't hear, you can see that Matilda is screaming at her grandson. On Tuesday, you call Matilda to ask her for her grandmother's amazing pound cake recipe. Before Matilda puts the phone to her mouth, you hear her scream, "Shut up! Granny's on the phone!" At Wednesday church meeting, which is something we Christians used to do, you watch Matilda fiercely grab her grandson's arm as she rips him out of the pew to take him to the back of the church to have that special chat. Now, you've observed a pattern of sin. You should think about talking to her. You shouldn't accuse, but lovingly talk to your sister in the Lord. It could be something as simple as, "Matilda, I've known you for so long. God has blessed me by allowing me to be in this church with you. And that's why when I saw you with your grandson, I thought that's not the Matilda that I know and love." And what if Matilda says, "What? I have? Oh, no. Would you please excuse me? I need to go apologize to my grandson. I've been under so much pressure. You know, the insurance policy, it didn't come through. I don't know if the house is going to be taken away. Please forgive me, but I got to go." Okay. What if that happened? But instead, you chose, "Okay, Matilda, little cranky today, again with a grandson." How we approach these things, when we approach these things, the expectation, do you offer help? Do you lovingly challenge? Do you help her to overcome a potential sin? On and on, you get the point. But as long as we're talking about it, you attend the same church as a teenager named Brandon. Aren't they all? You overhear some kids from the youth group giggling that Brandon has been fornicating with his girlfriend. Huh, there's a conundrum, discerning Christian. Do you overlook this sin? And by the way, might I ask, when we initially said, let's talk about discernment, did you think it was just going to be theology? It's not. It's discerning one another, life, and how we can all get to celestial city together. Doesn't have to do primarily or particularly with theology. It's how we interact with one another. Do you overlook Brandon's sin like you did the first time you saw Matilda crab at her son or grandson? No. Maybe you ask the kids who claim that Brandon's been frisky with his girlfriend. "Excuse me, I overheard that. That is a very serious statement to make. Why are you saying that about a brother? And you find out what's going on. If it's not true, then you need to tell them to repent, stop gossiping, and clean up their mess as much as they can. If it is true, you should tell the kids to stop gossiping and then go to Brandon. You say, whoa, I'm going to somebody else's kid. Well, if he's a teenager, you can. Now, depending on Brandon's response, you can go to Brandon's parents and involve them. There are some times when we need to judge on a sin issue, and there are other times when we don't need to judge on every single sin or theological issue. I'm not saying that these rules are always easy, and that applying them is easy. Woofta, that's the tough part, isn't it? But if we don't have any bumpers on our discernment, well, then we're going to be pretty much like the way the internet is right now. And I got to tell you, if you're listening to a discernment ministry and you don't hear them exercising any restraint, controls, or even a time for it, you know the big story about the big person and the big gaffe that happened, and you know they're talking about it, but they're not talking about the person directly because they're practicing discernment, be listening. In other words, discern the discerners. This is Wretched Radio.
What do you get when you combine eight of today's most trusted Christian voices with a commitment to unwavering biblical truth? Well, of course, you get Fortis Institute, your daily source for spiritual strength. We're not offering opinions here. We're providing a fortress of biblical wisdom for these challenging times that we're all living in. Every day, our fellows deliver fresh content that tackles real issues. Dr. John Crott shows you how to integrate theology into daily life. Brad Bigney transforms your struggling marriages into thriving relationships. Greg Gifford helps to bring biblical solutions to anxiety and depression. Plus, get exclusive access to private events, webinars, and studio sessions as a Fortis Insider. The best part? It's all free. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now and join our community of believers who refuse to be tossed to and fro by the cultural waves. From podcasts and videos to live events and daily hot takes, Fortis Institute provides the biblical foundation you need to stand strong. Because in times like these, we need more than just information. We need transformation. Question: what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Crotts, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered five powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Crott shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Crott has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move His truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Crott. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Crotts or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The book of Ruth tells of a Moabite widow who chose to follow the God of Israel and found favor in the eyes of a godly man named Boaz, who claimed her family's land as her kinsman redeemer. Ruth and Boaz are the ancestors of Jesus and a foreshadowing of Jesus' work as our kinsman redeemer. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fine, Jimmy. We'll get back to the mailbag. This is Wretched Radio. I'm not the one who asked the question about discernment.
Well, and I had another question.
About discernment?
I did.
Oh, boy.
You shared all of those principles and all those rules of discernment. And I was wondering, in your opinion.
Okay, so this is like a letter from Jimmy.
No. Well, maybe. But besides you can't answer yourself. But in your opinion, who best embodies those principles?
Justin Peters does a fine job. Justin can talk. If you listen to Justin, he's just packed in cotton. But if you listen, it's like clearly he has strong words. I saw a video of him, and it was about Ken Copeland, and Ken did some boneheaded thing again, and Justin was pointing it out. And if you've watched enough Justin Peters videos at the very end, and Ken Copeland, if you're watching, I've been praying for you. Believe it or not, I do love you, and I don't want you to be damned. Please repent of this apostasy. So I think Justin does a very fine job. Model yourself after those guys. And please note, I don't know that anybody gets it right, but you will know a good discernment. If you're listening to a discernment ministry that is constantly sounding angry, or like they are the arbiter of all things true, there's a pretty good chance you might want to discern the discernment ministries that you are listening to. And then you can send whatever you want to discerningme, idea@wretched.org.
Okay, this is from Abram. Todd, am I not a Christian because I don't have sorrow over my sin? I repent of sin and a desire to rid myself of it, but I just don't feel sadness over it.
Well, there should be contrition with repentance. If you look at 2 Corinthians 7, there is an attitude of, that you do sorrow over your sin. To what degree? It doesn't say. And you just want to be careful. Look, it is good that we examine some of these things, but we also need to remember sometimes you can kind of go through a season as a Christian where for whatever reason, and it could be an identifier, it could be a marker that says, you're neglecting something. So it's good to say, all right, I'm not as sorrowful as I used to. So something has changed. What is it? Is it because I haven't been doing this like I used to do? Is it because I'm doing this that I used to not do? And you can use that as an opportunity to see if you need some shoring up or some returning to old ways. But be careful that you don't judge the state of your soul based on the level of your sorrow over sin. Because here's the rather tricky part. Nobody sorrows over sin like we should. The day that this is a devil lie, is what this is. You cry over your sin. You did something bad. And you actually cry. You shed tears crying out to the Lord. And if you think that you've sorrowed enough, you've bought the lie. None of us do. Nobody does. Now, that doesn't say you shouldn't sorrow or be aware of it to ask, why is my conscience apparently not as tender as it once was? But you need to recognize that we deceive ourselves when we think that we've done a good amount of sorrowing because none of us actually do. So be careful with these examinations. There could be some sin in your life. Use it as an opportunity to reflect. But I would say this. When it comes to feelings as being the definitive arbiter of whether or not you are a child of God whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, nope, not on feelings. Don't do it. Even the Puritans wrote about seasons of cold where they wanted their affections to be stirred. Read the Valley of Vision. That is an often repeated request. Please rekindle my love for you. So don't base the status of your salvation on your feelings. Instead, base your salvation on, what do you think it is? What do you think it is? You maybe said your faith, and I would say, nope, Don't base it on your faith. Your salvation is not based on your faith. You say, wait a second, we're saved by grace alone through faith alone. Yes, we are. But your faith is not the secure of your salvation. Jesus is. Jesus is the one who has you. Jesus is the one who holds you. He's the one who gave you faith to begin with. It's his gift to you. So be careful. Now, it could be that your feelings are revealing something is horribly wonky. And that's okay, but don't let feelings be the judge that slams the gavel and proclaims damned. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
You know what gives me a lot of sorrow right now?
My answer?
No. Health insurance.
Oh, Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy.
What?
That was as Ben Shapiro-y as it gets.
That's what I was going for.
Oh, well, you nailed it. What brings you sorrow is health insurance. So you're probably going to suggest I should remind anybody who's still listening to this, which is highly unlikely anybody is, about MediShare, which is affordable biblical health sharing, where you, as a family, can save. The average family saves $500 a month. It's Christians sharing with Christians, loving one another, contributing to others' healthcare needs so that we can sleep at night. It's affordable biblical health sharing. It's an alternative to traditional insurance, which, let's be honest, it's just getting with all of that industrial insurance. Take 2 minutes to call them, 844-34-BIBLE. They're nice folks. They might pray for you, so it might be longer than 2 minutes. You'll have to endure. 844-34-BIBLE. They will share with you how much your family can save. And visit the internet. Please, visit the internet. Go to MediShare.com/wretched to learn if MediShare is right for your family. This promotional announcement is not endorsed by Ben Shapiro. idea@wretched.org.
Wow, I feel so encouraged now. Mm-hmm. All right, this is from Jacob. Dear husband of Mrs. Friel, if marriage reflects God's love for the church, what sets one's future spouse apart from others? Essentially, what makes us choose one person over another in terms of romantic love?
Ah, now we're getting to it. Step number one is not romantic love. Unfortunately, that's the one we tend to put at the front of the train. It should be the caboose. The engine should be, are they saved? Do they love Jesus more than they love anybody else on the planet? Then you take a look at how they are growing in the Lord. How do they treat their family members? How do they treat their siblings? What is their faithfulness in church? In other words, you're looking on the inside of the individual. That's where you want to get first, because if you are just attracted to somebody romantically and they don't have any of those attributes, they're not qualified. So you've just wasted your time and probably got your heart broken and maybe stumbled into sin you did not want to stumble into. So find out about the inner man or woman first. Then you can think about the romantic attraction. There is nothing wrong with considering that. Having those feelings for somebody the opposite gender is good, and it is right. It really is. And it should perhaps by some be enjoyed more than they do. It's okay to have that buzz for your spouse. That's a lovely gift. It's, of course, there's got to be bumpers on it. It's just got to be for your spouse. But those things can be there, but they're simply not the engine that would drive the marriage train. Please get others involved. And okay, now this is going to sound crazy to some. I know it is. I know this is going to sound, you're young and you've identified a boy or a girl that you think is pretty groovy. Okay, before asking this person out for a date or saying yes, imagine saying this, hey, you know, we've been going to church together for quite a while, and it seems to me that it would be wise to look for a spouse inside of the context of my home church. And as I've known you for such a long time, would you be interested in spending some time discerning if the two of us might be qualified for the institution of marriage by sitting down with elders, adults, our parents, to discuss the issue? And if the guy or gal is like, what are you, nuts? Say, thank you, You answered my question. But if they say, absolutely, yes, let's sit down. Let's engage some wisdom from others and download what they know that we don't. And then we can, if we pass that first step, then perhaps with some guidance of others to make sure that we don't stumble into sin, then we can start to explore some of the aspects of the other person that are a component in marriage. Crazy? You might think so, but I'll tell you what I think is crazy. Hey, gorgeous, want to go out? Movie? Okay, pick you up at 7. Nobody's going to be with us. I'm just saying, I know a park with a really good view. So tell your parents, we're going to see a rerun of Titanic and we're not going to be getting home until 2 in the morning. That to me is foolish. And until tomorrow, pretty good acting though, huh, Jimmy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. More sorrow.
Until tomorrow, go serve your king.